Hi everyone, welcome back to another episode of Hysterified, a horror movie review podcast. I'm Paola.
And I'm Danielle.
And today we're back with another fun episode. This is actually our 30th episode, which is pretty cool.
Wow.
Kind of crazy that we've done that many episodes. Thank you to the five of you that listen to this podcast.
We know who you are.
We know you are. We love you. We appreciate the support. But anyway.
And we know where you live.
We may or may not know that, but, you know, that's for us to know and for you to never find out. Today, we're talking about the 2019 movie Child's Play, which is part of the Chucky movie franchise. It is a 2019 slasher film directed by Lars Klevberg from a screenplay written by Tyler Burton Smith, serving both as a remake of the 1988 film of the same name and a reboot of the Child's Play franchise. The film stars Aubrey Plaza, Gabriel Bateman, Brian Tyree Henry, and Mark Hamill as the voice of Chucky. So yeah, we're gonna get into it, but before we do, we want to remind you, as always,
that there's going to be spoilers for this movie, so if you haven't seen it, go check it out.
Yes.
You know, catch all that good Chucky killing people action.
Yes. So now I'm going to read you a very short synopsis about the plot of the movie. After moving to a new city, young Andy Barclay receives a special present from his mother, a seemingly innocent buddy doll that becomes his best friend. When the doll suddenly takes on a life of its own, Andy unites with other neighborhood children to stop the sinister toy from wreaking bloody havoc. So, as we do sometimes, we are going to dig into some fun facts before we get into discussing what we liked and what we didn't like about the movie. So, I gathered some fun facts from IMDb, and I think you did too, right?
So, we're gonna see...
We might have some crossover here, but obviously you guys won't get to hear it twice, but we'll work it out. Don't worry.
Yeah. I'm going to go first, and I'm going to say all of them.
No.
I'm just kidding.
You can go first, though.
So there's a few little, like, nods to other movies in this movie. One of them is that, as you mentioned, the voice actor for Chucky is Mark Hamill, who... It played Luke Skywalker in the original Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
And they have Andy, when he first gets the buddy doll, when he tries to name him, he tries to name him Han Solo, which is supposed to be like a little nod to like Star Wars.
Right.
And then there's a part later towards the end of the movie where there's a little toy police car that goes, driving out, and it says, dead or alive, you're coming with me. And that's supposed to be a nod to RoboCop, which was also produced by the studio Orion Pictures.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess they're like, yeah, throwing a little, little Easter egg of that.
Nice.
This one it's not like a nod so much as the director felt inspired by E.T. And so you can see that in the buddy doll, his finger glows when he uses it to like move stuff.
Yeah.
In this case, it's, like, Bluetooth-connected stuff.
Right.
And then the kid Andy wears a red hoodie, just like Elliot,
mm-hmm.
for a lot of the movie. And then also you see Chucky learning from the TV the same way that E.T. learns from the TV.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I did think, too, that the kid, like, slightly resembled the kid that plays Elliot. So
mm-hmm.
I wonder if that was also... You know, if his inspiration was also reflected in the casting choice, that would be interesting to know. So my first fun fact is just very short, but when I was kind of reading through a few articles about this movie and stuff, so this fact kept on coming up, like, over and over again. But basically, it was that the original creator of the Child's Play / Chucky series, his name is Don Mancini, and... He was apparently not involved in this film at all. And he has, along with Alex Vincent, Christina Lee, and Jennifer Tilly, expressed his lack of interest in it. So I think it sounds like there's some beef there, you know, perhaps some rivalry that, you know, they didn't really like, I guess, this reboot. And I mean, I didn't really get into why they weren't involved, but it sounds like it was like the studio probably owned the rights and they kind of just went with it without necessarily having to consult the creators at that point, if they already owned the rights, you know? That's just kind of me, like, speculating, but it sounds like what happened, you know?
Yeah.
So, I thought that was interesting, because, you know, obviously, as a creator of a certain franchise, you have, like, a lot of, I could see somebody being really overprotective of, of that, and, I don't know, I feel like, I don't know if they were simply, like, indifferent or if they didn't like it, but, I mean, I don't know. It's just an interesting fact about, you know, how this movie was made and the circumstances surrounding it, so.
Yeah, I could totally see that. It seems like, I would think, like, this is my baby, this is my,
right,
my idea, and then, like, having somebody come in and kind of, like, change the fundamental idea of your product. I think that there was a movie that came out that was supposed to be following the original storyline that came out 2 years before, I believe, in like 2017. And
the clone one or the cult one?
Yeah, the cult one, yeah. I think. And then I think they had a TV series too that was supposed to continue the storyline or something like that. And so I could see why, like, I feel like maybe he wanted to keep going with what he already had going, and they're like, hey, let's kind of just, like, restart it, because this is getting, like,
right,
too much or kinda something. Crazy. Yeah, I don't know. That's what I'm just guessing as well, but
yeah, it's kind of crazy.
So another fun fact that I saw was that they had 6 animatronic dolls. And the dolls had interchangeable, like, limbs and head, so that they could swap them out for, like, if one of them breaks, and so that they don't have to, like, halt production. And they had, I guess, like, I think some of them had different, like, types of, like, grasping hands, and, like, for far away stuff when Chucky wasn't going to be grabbing anything, it had, like, just the like, still hand. And the dolls were actually, like, puppeteered. Which is interesting. Some of it was CGI. Like, I think they said that the eyes, they were originally going to have, like, little monitors that were going to change. Yeah. But they would have to have a separate person puppeteering the eyes.
Uh-huh.
Or not puppeteering, but I guess, like, programming the eyes to change.
Yeah.
So they did a little bit of CGI with the face stuff. But, like, I guess they actually had it, like, move the mouth and, like, move the hands. And they had the little person behind it doing it.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
That's pretty old school. I just assumed that it was, like, entirely CGI, but I guess you can kind of see, like, the way that the doll looks. It looks more real than anything, so.
Yeah.
But definitely the face, I feel like there was something with the face about it that looked like CGI. And
yeah.
I guess it was because of the eyes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe some of the mouth stuff was, too, but I think they did say that, I think I remember reading that the face muscles, they had, like, face muscles that would move or something. And then also for the scenes where, like, Chucky's running, like, that's CGI'd, because they're not going to have a person, like...
I mean, they do it in other movies, but...
That's true.
This one's kind of a fun fact, but it's also just, like, a literal fact that you just know when you watch the movie.
Yeah.
And it is the fact that, you know, unlike in the original 1988 Child's Play and the sequels, Chucky was not possessed by the serial killer Charles Lee Ray... which is, like, Chucky's human form. He was instead, you know, programmed by, like, a disgruntled employee. So that's kind of where they switched, like, the core storyline of the Chucky series. But basically, yeah, I mean, it's kind of crazy, but they had a different spin on it.
Yeah, so I also saw that they were originally going to have this movie be set during Christmas time, but they ended up switching it to be just during Andy's birthday, and that's the reason why he gets the Chucky doll. But they wanted to keep in the part where the shitty boyfriend dies because of the Christmas lights.
Mm-hmm.
So they just left that in anyways and had it, like, I guess maybe it could be that he just left him up for, like, a long time.
Yeah.
Or something.
Yeah. That's funny.
Yeah.
That kind of goes on to my next fact, which probably relates to what you just said. I read on IMDb that most of the deaths in the movie could not resemble the deaths from the original movie, like, too closely.
Mm-hmm.
So this was actually due to Universal Studios still retaining the rights to every Child's Play sequel, up to and including the Chucky films that dropped the Child's Play title.
Mm.
So, you know, there was some trickery there, and they couldn't really, you know, make it resemble, you know, the original too much. And that's probably where the Christmas thing came in, too. Like, they couldn't probably make it during Christmas because of copyright issues.
Yeah, which I think is really interesting how they were able to get around, like, I'm guessing the two studios must have made some sort of deal, like, hey, you can, like, use the name Chucky, mm-hmm. and, like, you can call it Child's Play,
mm-hmm.
and, but it's gotta be different than yeah. what we've got going on.
So, Danielle,
mm-hmm.
what did you like about this movie?
Oh, I'll tell you what I liked.
Yeah, just asked you. Please tell me.
So I liked that they switched from the idea of the, like, voodoo possession of a doll to having a, you know, faulty electronic thing going on was, like, more realistic and, like, believable.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of gave me, like, Black Mirror vibes, which I thought was really cool, actually.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree with you. That was one of the things that I liked, too.
Mm-hmm.
I think it brings it into this, like, time period. And it definitely is more realistic to, like, now because of technology and how, you know, quickly it's advancing. But at the same time, like, I feel like there, because there is more quickly evolving technology, there's also a bigger chance that things could go wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Just by the nature of, like, the volume of advancement, I guess, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, so I like that they kind of, like, brought it into this, you know, era and tied it into the main plot line.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah. That that kind of reminds me of the, what is it, that one robot thing that was like, yeah, I want to kill all of humanity or something. They were doing like
yeah.
a news
oh my
video
God.
Or something, and they're like, yeah, this robot, it's so cool, right? Look, she's so quirky. And then it's like, I'm gonna kill all of humanity.
I don't think she said it like that.
She said something. She said something
but
like,
but she said
oh,
something
destroyed.
That was very suspicious. Like,
like, damn, are you working with the Terminator?
Yeah.
What?
So I'll see if I can find a. Are you ice watering?
It's creepy.
Just so you know, Danielle, whenever she gets creeped out, her eyes start watering. Which is not like you don't cry. Like,
no,
it's not
no,
like
no,
crying.
No. I'm not like, oh my God, I'm so scared.
Yeah, yeah. She's not sobbing. She's just like, it's like involuntary. It's so
yeah,
strange.
Yeah, it's like getting goosebumps, but my eyes just water.
Her eyes get goosebumps.
My eyes get goosebumps.
Yeah, and then her brother, who's my husband, has the same thing, so it must be a... It
must be something we get from one of our
genetic,
parents or something.
Yeah, genetic trait of sorts. But yeah, anyway, so... This robot lady that's got Danielle's eyes watering. I'll see if I can find that clip and link it for you guys to see. Because it really is, it is creepy. Like, I don't think she says it, like, straight up, like, the way that you said it. But she says something that is, like, pretty
yeah.
troubling. That is, like, whoa, like, was she supposed to say that, you know?
Fuck, dude. Fucking Skynet over here.
So now she's got Chucky to help her out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so one of the first things that I noticed about the movie that I liked was just the fact that Aubrey Plaza is in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause I really like her as an actress. I feel like as a comedic actress, she's like, she plays very unique roles, I feel like.
Mm-hmm.
Especially for, like, for women, you know. I don't know. I could go on and on, but basically I was just very happy to see her in the role of, like, Andy's mom, and I think it's even something a little bit different for her, because I don't think she's played a lot of moms, you know? And granted, she's supposed to be a young mom, you know? But at the same time, I was like, oh, that's cool. Like, she's in a different role that is comedic, but it's also, like, a little bit more straight because it is in the horror genre. And so, anyway, I thought it was really cool that she was in this movie.
I had also written that I liked Aubrey Plaza's performance. I also really liked Andy, which is played by Gabriel Bateman. He did a really good job. And I was looking up other things that he's done, and he's been in a lot of other horror movies, actually.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. I forgot what other movies, but... Yeah, so I guess he's making his way into all these, like, horror movies. I don't know if he'll continue to do
them. Probably. I mean, it seems like that's the genre that he likes to work in, so that is pretty cool.
Yeah. I will just say that I thought that the little buddy song that they sing in the movie, it slaps, and I really like it. You are my buddy.
That's funny. So, we kind of already touched on this a few times, but I did add it on my list of things that I liked, so I'm just going to go ahead and bring it up again. Just, you know, that twist of it being, you know, not a voodoo doll, like you said, and kind of like somebody who, like, intentionally programmed him to be bad, but also there was, like, a glitch type of thing, right? And then also I thought the character of, like, the janitor, I think is what he was, or handyman or something.
Mm-hmm.
I thought he was really interesting too, because he added, aside from the, obviously the initial person that kind of messed with the buddy programming, he added another element of, like, you know, bad guy-ness, just because he was going to use that, you know, to his benefit, but in a way that was also antagonistic, I guess, in general. So I thought that was interesting, like, how they kind of played off that story of Buddy being, like, you know, not possessed, but kind of possessed just in a more technological way. And, yeah, I think, like, you know, obviously, like you said, it's very, very, like, Black Mirror-like. It makes you think about how much power, like, a lot of these tech companies have, and how something like that could potentially happen. Obviously, it's, like, heightened and, like, exaggerated because it's for a horror movie and stuff like that. But it, you know, but it could happen. Like, we rely so heavily on technology nowadays that things could go really wrong and we wouldn't really know what to do, or we would have a really hard time kind of dealing with it because we are so used to, like, relying on this technology, like, day in and day out. So I will say that I like the concept of Buddy as, like, you know, a companion for children when, you know, when it's not evil, basically. But, you know, the way that they sold it originally, like the non-possessed or non-hacked, you know, Buddy products, I thought were neat. And, like, they were a good example, too, of something that is positive that can be created with technology. And obviously, if you take all the, like, negative aspects out of it, then you know, you can see them showcase some of the ways in which, like, Buddy could be a good product nowadays, you know?
Yeah.
But at the same time, obviously, it all goes wrong. So, yeah, it's interesting. I think just them bringing, like, this whole technological aspect of it, like, just gets you thinking a lot more about the bigger conversation around these topics and, you know, around, like, the future of AI and so on and so forth. But... I think that was probably, like, the most interesting part of the movie for me, was just having those, you know, bringing that forward into the plot and then just having me think, like, I'm still thinking about it even though we watched this maybe, like, a little while ago, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So.
Definitely, yeah. Like, I think this was a trailer for another movie that's going to come out soon. I'm not sure. I think it might have been for the Scream movie, maybe, the new one that's going to come out.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a scene that I saw of, like, one of those doors that uses a phone to lock it,
mm-hmm.
and that the girl kept on pushing lock, and then somebody else had a thing that was pushing unlock, I guess.
Yeah.
So it kept on unlocking the door, and she kept locking it, and, like, that could totally be Buddy. He could see on the other side of the door. Another thing that you mentioned about the like, tech companies, I wrote in my notes that I feel like this was kind of, like, throwing shade at Apple in a way, because it was, like, Buddy with an I, and I felt like iPod, mm-hmm. iPhone, whatever. Mm-hmm. And the way that the guy was like, oh, this was not a Caslin's product's fault, and, like, we're gonna recall these, but, like, it wasn't our fault.
Yeah.
And I remember you commenting, like, oh, this seems like something that a person would definitely say to try and cover up, like, a problem with their products.
Definitely, yeah. Especially in the tech world, I feel like they're kind of easy to, like, they shift blame very easily, and they don't really take accountability for, you know, and luckily for us, as far as technology has taken us, like, nothing so crazy has happened.
Mm-hmm.
At least not that I can recall, and maybe I'm wrong and I just don't know about it, but you know, when more, like, minor things happen, like data breaches and stuff like that, depending on the company, they're, like, apologetic, but at the same time, they don't quickly, like, assume blame in the context of, like, realizing that their product was faulty.
Mm-hmm.
It was more like, oh, something went wrong, and, you know, something went wrong is, like, a more abstract way of saying, like, it wasn't our fault. It was just, like, something went wrong. So,
it was a freak accident.
Yeah, it was, like, yeah, it was an anomaly, like, whatever you want to say. So, yeah, so I thought that was funny. Like, they were like, no, it wasn't, you know, it wasn't our product, but we'll still recall it, blah, blah, blah. So,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
I thought that it was really interesting that they decided to make the audience feel connected to Chucky in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
The way that they're showcasing, like, this, like, nice little interaction between him and Andy, and, like, Andy's, like, not lonely because he's got his little doll now.
Yeah.
And I feel like by doing that, they make it more impactful in the end when Andy has to kill him.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, I thought we were best friends! And then, like, yeah. And then earlier in the movie, even when his two friends are holding down Chucky and he has to kill him, and he's like, but Andy, and then he's like, I can't do it, and then, like, I think the girl pushes him out of the way and, like, kills him or something, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, it makes it more impactful, which is interesting.
Yeah, they do a good job of creating, you know, for a short amount of time, but kind of giving you the illusion that Chucky and Andy are, like, bonded, and which is the whole purpose, right? It's the whole purpose of the doll,
mm-hmm.
when it's not, you know... hacked or whatever. When it's not crazy, when it's not a serial killer, the whole purpose is that, you know, this doll is supposed to bond with the child and create a special connection, etc., etc. So it does add that, like, you know, extra element of, like, I guess, emotion to the story, and, like, having Andy and Chucky be connected, and or Buddy be connected in that sense, you know, it makes it, like you said, it makes it more impactful at the end,
mm-hmm.
when, you know, when things go wrong and he has to kill Chucky.
Mm-hmm. Lastly, I thought that this new Chucky design was more unsettling with the weird, like, face contortions that he does.
Yeah.
And with his eyes when they turn red.
Mm-hmm.
I saw someone online said that he looked like a fish, and then I looked at him again. I was like, kind of does look like a fish.
Yeah.
But he looks like a scary fish, so. Or, not scary, but, like, creepy.
Yeah.
And, like, something's off about it.
Right.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you. I think that this new look of, like, robot Chucky is kind of cool. You know, it's different. Obviously, it still is very recognizable as Chucky, but there's something different about him that makes him, like, look more creepy, like you said.
Mm-hmm.
My last thing is just kind of, like, an overarching, like, I guess, like, little review of what I thought about the movie, which was that, like, it was silly enough and, like, kind of not... It wasn't scary, I don't think. It was just, you know, spooky, adjacent because there was, like, murder involved and whatnot. But it was, like, you know, just horror enough and just comedy enough for me to kind of enjoy it. Mm-hmm. I don't think it was perfect by any means, and I wouldn't rank it anywhere near the top of any sort of list for myself. But I did think it was, like, a fun time. Like, it was, we were watching it, and we were kind of just, like, chilling in the evening. I think I was, like, doing something else while I was watching it. It was just, like, a good, like, background movie. And if you feel in the mood to, you know, to watch something scary but not have to pay, like, a whole lot of attention and just have something kind of fun and scary in the background, you know?
Mm-hmm.
At least that's, you know, that's kind of, because that was my experience watching it, and that is the way that I enjoyed it, I think I liked it better than if I would have been, like, super analytical and just, like, watching the movie and watching its every move, because I don't think there was a whole lot of substance there in order for me to do that. So I liked my viewing experience of it in that I was kind of just, you know, paying attention but also doing something else and not getting, like, I wasn't ever interested enough to get, like, actually lost in the world of the movie. It was just, like, a good, fun, kind of scary, pretty funny, very silly, like, horror movie, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Or, like, horror comedy, I should say. What did you not like about this movie?
Well, there's a couple things. One that's just kind of, like, a minor, like, nitpicky kind of thing, I guess, is that I feel like the way that Chucky got his name made no sense.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess, like, maybe they were just trying to, like, I don't know. I feel like they could have come up with a more clever way to get it to, I think they were trying to make a joke about how, like, automated telephones, when you say something, it's like, oh, you wanted this option? And it's like, no, I didn't even say that. Like, what are you talking about? So, like,
mm-hmm.
Andy said Han Solo, and then it was like, oh, you mean Chucky? And it's like, they don't sound alike.
Yeah.
I don't know how it got from that to that. Like,
mm-hmm.
hey, they could have said, like, Chewbacca, and that, yeah. that sounds like Chucky.
That's true.
So.
Yeah. What's up with that?
On. Yeah.
So, I mentioned already, and we talked about a little bit, it was cool that they brought it into current times and they tied, like, technology into it and everything. But I do think that the plot line was kind of weak, and I wish that they would have brought in more elements to, I guess, to just kind of ground it a little bit more. Some of the things that I did like were, you know, the fact that his mom was in, like, a shitty relationship, and they kind of showed that a little bit, and kind of, like, how that dynamic worked with him and his mom. But pretty much after Buddy or Chucky gets introduced, like, the story becomes very one note. It, like, it's all about him trying to figure out what's going on with his doll, like, trying to stop it from being bad and so on and so forth. So I kind of got, I wouldn't say bored, but I kind of just got less invested as the movie went on, because I knew that they were working towards resolving just one aspect of the storyline, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, everything was serving, you know, this whole possessed doll situation. So I do wish that there were more elements to the plotline and just more levels in order for me to be more engaged, I guess, with it. But yeah, that was probably, like, the biggest thing that I felt, like, kind of bleh about.
Kind of like how you said earlier that it was, like, spooky adjacent. Like, I feel like there should have been more suspenseful or creepy or unsettling moments, to give it more of a touch of, like, horror movie.
Yeah.
Whereas this one had, like, more of a, like, almost lighthearted kind of, not lighthearted, because I mean there's, like, people getting murdered,
yeah.
But I don't know, I was looking through, like, because I saw that the movie didn't get well received, and
mm-hmm.
I was like, is it just people being haters? Like, I read a lot of people wrote, like, not my Chucky, blah blah
mm-hmm.
blah, like, people being very, like, upset that they changed, that it was a robot type situation instead of like voodoo type situation. So I was looking through some other reviews and I saw some people saying too that they thought that the movie was like not scary and like more silly and like comedy and like I saw someone some comment that somebody said that the scene where Andy's like teaching Chucky how to like have a scary face so he can scare the shitty boyfriend that they said like this seems like something out of a Disney movie like that would be in like an Avengers or something and I was like, you know what, that's a good point. So I don't know, there was something about it that was seeming like it was almost made for like
little kids.
Yeah.
Or like preteens.
But yeah, like I feel like they were trying to go for like a Stranger Things but like with more gore or something.
Yeah.
Especially with like the teenagers teaming up and like fighting the dolls at the end. So
this my next thing that I didn't like kind of ties into my first one, which is just how the plot kind of unfolded. And I feel like a lot of aspects of this movie, I feel like overall the movie was like both slow and rushed at the same time. Like there were parts of it that I didn't really understand why they were focusing so much on. And then there were other parts of it where I was confused, like why they weren't spending more time on that. So I feel like that made it feel like, you know, rushed. It made it feel rushed and slow at the same time, just because like some of the things that I wish that they would have focused on more, they didn't. And some of the things that I didn't give a crap about are the things that they focused on. Yeah. So like that face thing is a good example, right? Like obviously Andy doesn't have a great relationship with this guy that his mom is dating, but at the same time, is that important? Does that come up in the end, other than the fact that he dies, right? Or that Chucky kills him? Like, it's not a really, I wouldn't have spent that much time on it, basically, is what I'm trying to say. But yeah, there was like things like that where I was like, okay, where is this going? Why are we here for so long? You know, why can't we move on to something else? And then other things that seemed more important that I was like, okay, why aren't we spending more time here? So yeah, I felt that throughout the whole movie and up until the end too. So
last one that I have is that I thought that no matter how much bonding Andy and Chucky got at the beginning of the movie, that didn't justify how much, I don't know what the word would be, like, how much, like, slack that he was giving Chucky. Like, as soon as he attacked my cat, that thing's going in the trash.
Yeah.
And then he kills the cat. Yeah. And he still doesn't get rid of him. And he's, like, replaying the sounds of the cat getting killed. And it's like, this little fucker needs to go in the trash right now. And no, I guess he doesn't. And then he kills the guy, which, I mean, is whatever.
Right.
But, like, it takes it until that point, because then it looks like he's going to get framed for a murder. So he's like, oh, I guess I got to get rid of the doll.
Yeah. That's kind of like, strange.
Yeah. It's like, come on, dude. Get rid of that cat. I mean, get rid of that. not get rid of the cat. Get rid of the doll so he doesn't get rid of your cat.
Yeah.
I don't know. And he even cut Andy's own arm, too. It's like, get rid of that
Andy
kid.
Andy got friends, too, later. Like, what the fuck do you need the doll for at that point? Mm-hmm. Especially if it's evil and it killed your cat.
Yeah.
That's
or
a good point.
It hurt your cat, it hurt you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know.
Yeah. I have one more thing that I didn't like, but it kind of doesn't make sense knowing what we know now about the whole franchise. So basically what I wrote down was I'm confused about what this movie specifically adds to the Chucky franchise. Because it is kind of starting over and introducing this whole new concept, right? But now that I understand that it was, like, almost made separately, because when I was doing research and I saw, like, all of the Child's Play, like, titles and, like, kind of how the story progressed in that sense, and then this one came out, I was like, that doesn't really make any sense, right? Like, they don't fit together, so That was the thing for me. I was like, what is this adding to the overall? But I guess you kind of almost have to see it as, like, completely different mm-hmm. you know, Chucky universe, basically, that they started from scratch. And I don't really know if they're going to make any more with, like, this Chucky that is, like, you know, evil robot.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems like it. Like,
they
at least,
set it up.
Yeah, they definitely set it up, right? Mm-hmm. So we don't really know if that might already be in the works or might have, you know, been axed completely because it wasn't well received or something.
Yeah.
But that was the only thing for me. You know, at the time when I was writing my notes, I was like, I guess you kind of have to think about it like two separate, like, Chucky universes, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. I was looking through, I think, like, there was, like, a small, like, quote from an interview, and I think it was the director was saying, like, yeah, like, this was really fun to make, and, like, if it does well, then, you know, we might want to go ahead for the storyline, make another one or something. But yeah, since a lot of people didn't like it,
right?
Which was really weird. It was like all either like 5-star reviews or like 1-star reviews. There was nothing in the middle, which I thought was really interesting.
Right.
I guess people in the middle don't bother to leave a review.
Yeah.
But it was either like, this is garbage, you shouldn't waste your time watching, and then there's like, don't listen to those people. This movie is fun if you know, watch it and you don't like. You're not expecting it to be the exact same thing as the original.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it might have just been the case that hardcore Chucky fans were super upset, and mm-hmm. they were the ones who were the most vocal on review sites,
mm-hmm.
Which, you know, happens. I'm sure it happened for other reboots and stuff like that.
Then it happened with the Ghostbusters because people were mad because they put
girls.
That was
girls. A whole another level, but...
Yeah.
But yeah, basically that kind of stuff happens all the time, mm-hmm. where people get pissed off because, you know, there's a reboot and they change, like, a little... They change things to be, like, a little bit different than they used to be, and they're like, whoa, mm-hmm. you know?
Their head explodes.
Yeah, basically. Danielle, what did you rate this movie?
Oh, I'll tell you. I gave this movie an 8.3 out of 10 Buddy Bears.
That's funny.
So, Paola, what did you rate this movie?
So, I'm rating this movie a 7.4 out of 10 Buddy theme songs.
You're
my buddy.
I almost put that.
So that's going to be it for today's episode. We hope that you guys enjoyed it. Definitely let us know if you've seen Child's Play and what you thought. As always, if you have any comments or questions or movie suggestions, you can email us at danielleandpaola@gmail.com.
And you can also go ahead and follow us on social media. We have an Instagram, and our Instagram handle is going to be Hysterified Podcast. And then we also have our Twitter, and that one is Hysterified Pod. Lastly, if you are listening through the Apple Podcast app, if you want to leave us a review and rating, that'd be greatly appreciated.
And then we never say it, but if you're watching us on YouTube, you should definitely subscribe to our channel.
Yeah, and leave a comment, you know. Did you like this movie better than the original one?
Mm-hmm. I highly doubt it, but somebody might have, you know.
Let us know if you're that one person that likes it better.
Definitely. If you're not watching us on YouTube, you should definitely go check out our channel as well. We post the audio version, of course, on across all podcasting platforms, but we also post a video version that you should definitely take a look at every once in a while.
Yeah. I make stupid faces, like, all the time.
All the time. Guaranteed at least, like, 3 or 4 stupid faces from both of us, honestly. Like,
per episode.
Per episode. That's pretty good.
Some good content you're missing out on if you're only listening. Like, you hear my goofy voice, just imagine my stupid face a bit.
So we'll see you guys on our next episode. Bye.